listener production. Our dirty little secret of two tasty Pop-Tarts of joy that nobody talks about. Shh. If too many people listen, they may have to become grown-ups. It's Matt and Alex all-day breakfast.
So I jump on a Zoom call with someone just the other day, Daiso, and they're like, oh, I hope you don't mind. I've just got my Fathom recording this Zoom call. And I was like, sorry, what?
Fathom.
And yeah, so they introduced me to this AI plugin that you put into your Zoom that records the whole thing. And then at the end of the Zoom call, it will compile a list of dot points about what was mentioned in the call. It'll summarize the entire call from you. It'll say, so-and-so spoke about this, so-and-so spoke about that, so-and-so's backstory includes this and this and this, this is their history. And then they'll say literally things like next steps, and it'll say, this is what we plan to do next, and it'll say all the things you said, like, hey, I'll call you back on Tuesday. Call so-and-so on Tuesday. That's what it says. It's like,
and they'll put that in your calendar.
It'll just do a full, it doesn't put it in the calendar, but it just gives you a full summary, like a multiple page summary. All the things you talked about really concisely, I was like, damn, bruv, this is dead set the future.
Well, secretaries of meetings everywhere are sweating in their little boots with that news coming through.
Do you know who I'd be? I'd be terrified if I was I shouldn't say the little court typist.
Well, they are. They seem little because that typewriter appears so small. It's such like a velociraptor sort of.
Yeah, I'd be terrified. They're coming for all of us, Dyson. The AI is coming for all of us. Soon this AI people will be bloody releasing their own podcasts.
Oh, man, please. Please. I'd probably be more successful than the old Matt and Alex, that's for sure. Do you have to identify your voice? Does it know everyone's voices?
It must. It must just pick up whose voice. Because it said Matt talked about blah, blah, blah. It said so-and-so talked about blah, blah, blah. And then it said, you know, things we're going to do next. And it was like, it is exactly, you know, there's a few inconsistencies, but otherwise it was pretty impressive.
Well, could we get our the closest we have to artificial intelligence, producer Bron, could you tell everyone what's on today's show? Just a quick summary.
On today? Isn't it ironic?
Isn't it ironic?
Isn't it ironic? Yeah, a little bit of Alanis Morissette chat going on. Well, not Alanis Morissette, but ironic chat. Yeah, go on. What else?
Best offer you've had to refuse.
That's true. Yes. So I do talk about an offer that someone close to me received recently. And you'll have to decide whether you think they should say yes or no.
And a classic mind blown.
All right. Good one today.
Well, thank you very much, bron.com, for that summary. Muchly appreciated.
Thank you very much for downloading this episode of All Day Breakfast. Let's tuck in.
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
I was walking the back streets and the laneways of Melbourne the other day, Matt O'Kine, as you know I like to do. I'm a cultured man who really dislikes graffiti. For the most part,
do you dislike illegal graffiti or legal graffiti or both?
I dislike illegal things in general. Mm-hmm. Okay, however, I particularly dislike when people, and I'm sure there's a respect thing here, people with just tag a single line name or draw, you know, some genitals over quite a well-done graffiti piece.
I know, that is the most annoying thing ever.
Yeah.
You'd think there would be some sort of hierarchy involved.
I know. Some sort of respect to these graffiti people who've paid their dues and then get up to the top and then, you know, you wouldn't just destroy their art form with your very crude and rudimentary stuff.
It's like if you were watching, you know, your Sarah Silvermans or your Ronnie Changs on stage.
Yeah, and then like a person, young and up-and-coming person, you know, someone who was supporting them instead of performing stand-up did a hip-hop gig.
No, just flying in the face. That's not what it's like.
Flying in the
that
face of the
that is not
art
what
form.
It's like. I did songs and jokes. I did not tag a cock and balls on Ronnie Chang's Palais Theatre show. I mean, theatre show.
Did you only tell jokes because someone after one of your songs yelled, tell a joke?
No. Yeah, yes, that happened. But I was also telling jokes already.
Okay.
I was doing songs and jokes, and yes, he wanted more jokes. That's fine. When I go to the pizza shop and I get a pizza. Sometimes I walk in and say, it was lovely, bit more cheese next time though. You know, it doesn't mean I didn't like the pizza or doesn't mean I didn't like the pepperoni.
Well, yeah, it depends if you go to a pizza shop and they hand you, you know, a burger and you go, give me a pizza. Anyway, enough about that, because I was walking through and I went past this weird, you know, those big towers. They're like windowless buildings in the major CBDs of a lot of places. They're like a telephone exchange.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to live just near one in Glebe, actually, Daiso. We used to live near a telephone exchange.
And there's it's like in there, it's, I guess, the hub to make sure, like, we just take all these wires and, you know, satellites and these Wi-Fis for granted. But they need these big, you know, buildings to be able to make sure that our phones, whenever we need to use them, work and they connect and they call people, which is why I found it quite interesting as I walked past the entrance to this telephone exchange in the middle of Melbourne. There was an A4 printed out sign on the front that said, intercom broken. Please, please knock loudly or please call this number. So I'm like, guys, you're the central place. All the people who make the phones and, you know, audio work.
All communication leads through you.
It's if anyone should have an intercom working, it is this very large Australian telco exchange. What are you doing here, boys and girls?
Was it a handwritten sign?
Yeah.
Handwritten?
No. A4 printed out.
Okay.
You know, Microsoft Word. But I just thought that was quite ironic. I thought Alanis Morissette could have done very, very well, you know, weaving that into her seminal song.
And isn't it ironic?
Like a broken intercom at your telephone exchange. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
Some new lyrics. So I did ask you, what's the most ironic thing you've ever seen? So I thought that was quite ironic. Zoe said, it always amuses me that condoms and baby care are in the same aisle at most pharmacies.
Yes.
The two polar opposites.
Or you could argue that maybe they're, you know, the condoms are placed next to the baby stuff to remind you of what could happen. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, do you want to buy 24 nappies every single week for the next 5 years, or do you want to buy one condom? Mm.
There's a bit of a discrepancy there. Wade said, electric cars getting charged by large diesel generators. Yeah, you don't want to see the big diesel generator right next to the old cords, do you? The supercharged stations.
Evan said, I worked at a gym called Flames Fitness, which ironically burnt down. Oh, no. Oh, that was me, mate. I was just running on the treadmill a bit too fast.
Could have been it. Anyway, get in touch, Matt.and.Alex. Let's move on with the show.
Talking to a friend on the weekend, Alex Dyson. And he's just sitting at home, you know. I think he didn't have his shirt on. He's just like a Saturday arvo.
So wait, you're just talking on the phone to a shirtless friend.
No, I wasn't talking to him. This is at a party, but he was sitting at home. So, okay, wait, sorry. Let's start again.
Yeah, we're talking to your friend at a party about a time he was home without
a
shirt.
Okay. So talking to a friend.
His story started with him topless on the couch.
Yeah, he's telling me how he was just sitting in his house recently, Sunday afternoon or whatever. He doesn't have a shirt on. So, you know, it's just a quiet day. I think the kids are out, et cetera. And,
shirtless alone at home.
Yeah, he gets a knock on the door, right? There's a guy standing out the door. And
Does he have like a, you know, opaque glass on the front of the door or something?
He answers the door and the guy's standing there. The guy says, hey, do you remember me? Right? My friend's like, no, not really. The guy says, I was bidding against you in the auction for this house. Right? My friend's like,
that's a weird thing to do.
He's like, okay. And the guy's like, you know, and me and my partner, we've been looking for the last year and we still haven't been able to find a place and we just keep thinking about this house.
Okay. So they'd been looking for a bit then that auction happened and it had still been a year since.
Since that auction.
Since the auction. So your friend had moved into his house 12 months ago.
Yeah, and then the guy's
was so
like,
comfortable within its confines that he could walk around shirtless.
No, so anyway, so then the guy's like, you know, are you guys liking the house? And my friend's like, yeah, we are. We're really liking it. And the guy's like, and the other guy's like, oh, damn. Well, would you be open to an offer?
What would you do in that situation?
Well, here's the...
Are you always open to an offer?
This is where the question comes in, because my friend was like, yeah, I mean, I'd be open. I'd consider an offer. And they're like, well, how much?
Well, you can't do that. That's not an offer.
No, so that's it. So then my friend goes, well, no, you give me the offer.
I'm open to an offer. not a question.
You give me the offer and I'll consider it. That's what he said. Yep. And so that is where the question lies. How much, Daiso?
Just moved in.
Well, Bron, you brought your house. You've just done it up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the blood, the sweat and the tears, right?
Okay.
I mean, because you go, all right, let's imagine that the person has, you know, gives you an offer that means you're going to, or that's going to see you maybe make 50 grand on top of your.
Well, it's got to be an offer you can't refuse, really.
That's that is it, isn't it?
If they give you an offer you can refuse, you're probably going to refuse it.
Well, I mean, 50 grand. Let's say it's 50 grand. That's no money. That's nothing to sneeze at. Yeah, so you're straight away going, no. But I mean, that's a lot of money.
Having to go and look again. Because, you know, for that, how much would you pay to not have to, in a year's time, rock up at a house and rebake them an offer? Because you can't find anything in this bloody economy.
Well, okay. Stamp duty as well these days.
I know. So there's stamp duty. Yeah. Then it's going to cover your move. Your move is going to be your 10 grand, right?
Yep.
Plus the time and effort. Oh my God, it is an absolute nightmare. Plus you got to be sure that you're going to find another place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you outbid them at the auction, so you wouldn't think they'd be offering too much over what you paid for it.
But then you go, but everyone has a price. Then you go, okay, well, what about 100 grand? I mean, that
move again for 100 grand profit. In a year. I mean, that is a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. It's so much money. You'd be like, I mean, if someone just walked in and said, hey, I'm going to make your life slightly inconvenient for like a month for 100 grand, you would almost certainly say, well, yeah, of course.
Yep.
But it's the uncertainty of then what happens if you don't find a place? And then getting to how long were you looking, Bron, before you found your place?
We're looking for a while, maybe 6 months.
Yeah, so you'd need to assume you're not going to find a place for a year.
Mm. Offered probably, you go, all right, that offer's on the table. I'm going to now look on the weekends. All right, because I do that for no money anyway. I just go and snoop the neighbourhood. I went to one on the weekend, just an open house. And literally, it was an apartment across the road. And the guy's like, oh, so, you're looking around. I'm like, actually, that's my house out the window there.
just gawking, mate.
Sniffing.
Out there, absolutely sticky beacon.
Yeah, literally on Monday, I got phone calls from numbers I don't have. I'm like, not answering that. That'll be the real estate agents who I catfished by going to their open houses. Yeah, if you found something and you could turn that around relatively easily, if you could find something in the area, if they wanted that house enough, I'd probably go, yeah.
But they're also saying, like, it's been hard to find something else that matches up to this.
Yeah, that's true. So they're admitting that we're transferring this problem onto you for however much money it is. I mean, and if it is 150 grand, 200 grand, you'd start going, okay, well then how much would you pay someone to look at houses for a year? Basically every weekend you've now got to go and look at houses for a year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'd just look around. Well, you didn't have to. You'd go it until you got bored and then you wouldn't find one. You say to them, nah, sorry, I looked and it's a no. Or you could up it a little bit.
You're going to have to chuck another digit in front of this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't heard the update, but I'd be very intrigued because everyone's got a price. That's the funny thing.
The problem is though as well is what certainty do you have if when you're looking and you're going around and you go, all right, great, I've actually found a place. I'm going to get that for a good deal. I'm going to get extra on mine now because this guy's so desperate. He walks around and knocks on my door cold calling.
Mm.
what's to say once you put an offer in the other place, he'll back out? Do you need to sign
it.
A contract?
Yeah, then
the
you
got to
make sure you get it. And then
that a random
you don't
man
have...
who turns up at your house will follow through on his offer?
That's it. Then you're suddenly stuffed. Imagine if it did fall through.
Yeah.
So anyways, look, I just thought I'd ask you, when have you received an offer that you, well, what's the best offer you had to refuse? Just to find a little bit of something, something. And James said, I had to give up going on a private super yacht for a bucks because I'd already booked in with Dad to fish in his tinny.
Damn.
It ain't
super
filming.
Yacht bucks. I assume that's all expenses paid on the super yacht. Why don't you just go, yeah, I can come. Is there a spot for my dad and his fishing rod? Why not throw a line over on the super yacht?
Mate, they're not filming below deck on Dad's tinny, that's for sure. I haven't seen that episode. Morgan got in touch as well, said walking off the plane in Melbourne, arriving from Tasmania on a Saturday afternoon in late Feb. Lots of people we knew on the plane because that's Tassie life for you, and had a quick chat with an old work colleague and her young daughter who were excited to be seeing Pink at Marvel Stadium that night. Wished them a great weekend and a spectacular night seeing Pink, and got about 20 metres away when they sang out and called us back. They had two spare tickets to Pink as their friends could no longer come, offered them to us so that they didn't waste it. As great as it sounded, we had to thank them politely and decline. We already had plans for the Saturday night and had flown that day for a reason. We had tickets to Comedy Republic. Oh, well, there you go.
Morgan. How good is that?
Oh, they've gone to Melbourne specifically to go see a show at Comedy Republic.
Morgan, that is wonderful, and I'm so glad that you came on the night where we hooked up Celia Piccola to some wires and she did her set flying across the ceiling from the roof. It was an homage to Pink
the
herself.
The Pink Spectacular. Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine doing, so what's the deal with airplane food? Well, my friend refused an offer from me one time. He was working at Triple J. He got concert tickets. I said, oh, do you want to come to Arctic Monkeys? I think we've got the special box and you get a bit of food and all that sort of stuff. You want to come along? And he's like, oh, sorry, I'm going to the gym. I'm like, what? He's like, well, I've been putting off. I've got to go to the gym tonight. I'm like, mate, what's the name of your gym? He's like, oh, Anytime Fitness. I'm like, exactly, Anytime. It's there for you 24 hours
go
a day.
Go after.
Go after. Go before. Go tomorrow. Come to this thing. It's like, nah, I can't. Jim, unbelievable.
Get cooking goose down there.
And now it's time for...
Mind blown.
That's right. Matt O'Kine comes in with a fact to blow all of our domes. Matt, you've been on the internet. You've been at the library searching through the Encyclopedia Britannica. What has tickled your fancy this week?
Well, mate, I mean, it's been eclipse fever, hasn't it? The North America receiving a total solar eclipse, which lasted quite a while. There's a wowed millions across the continent for more than 4 minutes in some locations. So it started off in Mazatlan, Mexico, in which people gathered in a beachside park. They had a youth orchestra playing Star Wars songs while a large screen projected images of Princess Leia behind them. Some people just really getting into it.
Yeah, I guess the sun is a star technically, but bloody clips happening. These all these bloody jokers out there who are saying solar energy is the way to go for the future didn't factor in eclipses, did
no.
you, mate? How are we meant to power our homes and all these new EVs when the moon gets in the way for 4 minutes every 30 years or so? Checkmate, atheists.
Well, this was where my mind-blowing facts come in, because at first I was like, interesting facts about, you know, eclipses. And mm-hmm. one of the facts that I first read is regarding how people interpret the eclipse. You talked about Tintin the other day and how people were, the characters in Tintin were shocked by the eclipse and they sort of took it as a sign from the god. Well, guess what? That actually happened.
Bro.
Okay, the Battle of Halley's, okay, fought in the early 6th century BC in Anatolia, which is present-day Turkey, yeah, okay, between the modern-day Turkish and the modern-day Iranians or Persians. They they were in the midst of a battle that had been raging for years.
Mm.
Suddenly a solar eclipse happens. They all just go, what the hell is going on here? This is obviously a sign from the gods.
Yep.
And so they thought, you know what? Tools down. Let's just talk about this. And they stopped the war and they ended up signing a treaty sort of thing to make them all go, okay, look, this is silly. Let's just stop. So the power of the eclipse can never be underestimated. Yeah. But
well, some people still think it's that old. There's a politician in America called Marjorie Taylor Greene. And didn't she tweet that it's a sign that, you know, God's angry and we need to repent for our sins?
Well, look, maybe people will be repenting in Australia in 2028, because that is what I actually found the most mind-blowing, in that the next solar eclipse,
full one,
to hit Australia will happen on July 22nd, 2028. And not just that, but it will actually start off in the northwest of WA, in the Kimberley region. It will cross right through the middle of Australia, passing over the city of Sydney that day. And I thought that was pretty amazing.
Only 4 years to wait.
Yep. There you go. A little precursor to the Olympics. Little four-year, you know, little bumper to get you ready for the Olympics.
Well, yeah, you were like so happy you moved back to Brisbane for the Olympics. Maybe you should have waited in Sydney for
a few more years. I was so annoyed as soon as I saw it. I was like, God damn it.
Well, you can travel there.
Anyway, I thought that was pretty exciting.
Yes, and then maybe the Penrith Panthers and the Parramatta Eels will put down their put their differences aside.
Imagine if it was state of origin. The two states finally say, this is silly.
We shouldn't go to war three matches a year every year. Surely. Anyway, we do like asking from your listener mind blowns as well. So send them through as in the form of a voice note to matt.and.alex. This week's mind blown comes from Jasmine.
Hi, Matt, Alex, and Bron. I have a mind blown. I recently found out that the lead singer of the band Toto was also the singing voice of Simba in the classic animated film The Lion King, and he is also the son of the composer John Williams. There you go.
What?
Mind blown.
Blown away!
Are you kidding
me? This is Joseph Stanley Williams, American singer, songwriter, film score composer.
So the guy who wrote the theme to Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park, Superman, John Williams, wrote those themes. His son was the frontman of Toto, who sings Africa.
Yeah, I'm speechless.
That is nuts.
Okay, there you go.
And also, because I remember Jonathan Taylor Thomas was the speaking voice of Simba. So then this guy, was he young when Lion King was done?
Well, he'd been in like Toto from 1986 to 1988.
Oh.
So it was only a short time. Toto really, they really just did the sort of one thing.
They burned bright, didn't they? But he did his best work on the continent of Africa, you know, where Lion King was set and also where one of those big songs came from.
You should Google him, man. This guy is like the complete opposite of Africa. Like, you could not get less. But, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing stuff. Amazing work. Loved it.
All right, good stuff. And thank you, Jasmine, for blowing our minds. And thank you for listening to this big old episode of Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. It's been an absolute pleasure hanging out.
And you know what? We've got some really good news. We're back tomorrow. So very excited to be joining you again. Another Matt and Alex for you on a Friday. Keep in touch with us at matt.and.alex and we will see you same time, same place then.
Bye-bye.
That's it. The all-day breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at matt.and.alex.